Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard. More and more people are choosing to become beekeepers and to put up some hives perhaps in their large back garden or perhaps in a neighbouring paddock. So if you're interested in beekeeping but don't really know where to start, I suggest that one way to approach it is actually to accompany a beekeeper for a day, preferably accompanying the beekeeper for several days throughout the seasons, just to see what kinds of activities are involved with keeping bees. For this show, I visited Hampshire in the south of England. It's home to Peter Grimes, who's a beekeeper, who's kept bees here for over 18 years. For Peter, the happiness of his bees, or his girls as he likes to call them, and the part that they play in contributing to biodiversity is paramount. And of course, he enjoys their honey too. Peter's made what is still a passionate hobby for him into a small and developing business, rehoming unwanted bee colonies and selling his bee products. This show was recorded in early March 2017, which is early spring in England. It was a time of snowdrops and daffodils budding. I join Peter as he does an early spring check of his hives to see how they've fared over the cold winter months. So Peter and I have donned our beekeeping, protective beekeeping gear. And Peter, it's a sunny day, but it's quite cold. So you think it's wise that we really do need to dress up so much here?
Yes, I think we should treat the girls with respect. It's only the females that have the sting. There'll be no males at this time of the year. The drones haven't been born yet. And we're going to just have a very early inspection, very early spring inspection. Make sure the entrances are clear, there's not debris in the way. Make sure the mouse guards are still in place. And maybe just make sure they've got some food. So I've got fondant and going to put that in place if the girls need it. So... yeah, it's not a bad day. Hopefully, we'll have a look to see if there's any pollen coming in. And that's an early indication that the young are in the hive and the queen has started to lay. So,
okay,
so,
well, let's go.
Okay, we're going to have a look. This was a sheep farm and 33 acres were sold off, including mainly pasture but a bit of woodland. And then Brian has replanted and coppiced to make it as you see today. So as we're walking by, we're seeing lots of snowdrops and also the hazel is in flower, so that's a very good pollen source.
What do your bees mainly feed on here?
Well, they'll feed on whatever's in season. So as the season has started, they'll have gone straight to the snowdrops. They are going out now to things like pussy willow and hazel, so that's a good early pollen. And then as the season comes on, there'll be daffodils. They'll really look forward to all of the wildflowers in the meadow, so later on with the dandelion, that will be superb. That's a very good forage for the bees. You've got a good nectar flow from that. And then the trees, when they come into blossom, a lot of the tree flowers are very good, and also you get honeydew from the trees as well. So this particular area is good for my bees. They're sort of healthy and they do thrive in this area.
Right. And so now you're preparing the smoker at the moment.
I am, yes. Yeah. So first of all, I run my smoker just on natural fuel. So I'll start with, for instance, grass and leaves.
Just all nice and dry.
Nice and dry, yeah, nice and dry. I have got in the car, I've got some lavender stalks. So from last year's lavender flowers, that makes a particularly pleasant smoke. For the bees and for the beekeeper.
And it's quite, well, lavender for humans is, it helps us rest and relax.
Well, let's hope
it's
it does.
It's a good bedtime thing.
Let's hope it does the same for the girls in the hive as well, then. So we'll see.
You've got some bees here at the entrance of this hive. What, this is just a Langstroth hive?
So this one is British Standard, so it's a little bit smaller and squarer than the one next door, which is the Langstroth hive.
Right.
So the British Standard, as you understand it, is British. You can see the girls here. See, they're coming back with pollen, little pollen pouches.
Yeah.
So that's a lovely indication. You'll see the different pollens. There's some yellow and some orange. And to me, that's indicating that they have got young in there, so they're bringing that back for them.
And when was the last time you checked these bees?
I fed them through the winter, so I've been to them early January and just put the fondant on.
Yeah.
Haven't inspected them as such, and it's still too cold to inspect them today, so it's just another maintenance visit, really.
And because you risk the health of the hive if you open them to the cold at this
time
of year.
Yes, you'll chill the you'll chill the brood, and the brood is all the youngsters, so the eggs and the larvae. So it's
this size of hive, it would be good for someone perhaps who's not so strong. You know,
this would be ideal for people. As you mature, you'd want to go to a smaller hive. Ladies, this would be a good one to start for. And it's not as pretty as a WBC, which is the William Broughton Carr. That's the traditional cottage-looking hive. But with that hive, you've got double the amount of wood. So it's got an insulation layer of wood on the outside. There's more manual handling. It does look more attractive.
Mm.
But the bees don't mind. If you give the bees a very clean, functional home, that is exactly
they
don't mind. They want clean wax to use and the foundation.
Yeah.
And they want to be well looked after. They're not fussy about how the box looks to them.
And you've got them nicely oriented kind of to the morning sun.
Yes. Yeah, I do like my girls to have morning sun. It gets them up early and it stops them staying in bed and eating too much honey. You want them out early in the morning, and this is ideal because as the sun comes round, these coppices, the hazel coppice, will shade during the summer. So they'll have morning sun, out early to work, and then afternoon shade, so they're not wasting energy trying to keep the hive cool. And it's just a glorious sight to see all this pollen coming in.
It is. It's lovely.
So, you know, very early March, and the queen has already obviously come back into lay, and I'm quite pleased with these two hives. They survived the winter, and they look quite busy.
So you've got a total of four hives.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but this is just one of my sites. I've got some other sites as well, different areas.
So you're just getting the smoker started. We've lit some newspaper in it.
Yeah.
And the idea at the moment is just to heat up the can, as you say.
Yes, yeah.
And then you relight it, do you?
No, once there's heat in there and there's some good ash or embers, then I'll put the leaves and the dried twigs over the top. Gives us an idea of wind direction as well, so we know that the wind is going away from the hives, which is good. So if the girls get upset, they won't give the chemical signals that they can do, the pheromone signals that will alert and alarm other hives. So you always want to be working the bees downwind. That will stop the pheromones being taken to other hives and alarming them and putting them on edge.
So now you've put a lot of dry leaves on top, and hoping that it's
just generate. Well, you can see that the smoke is
it is
coming back.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to give it. I don't want to make it too compressed. Just getting the embers underneath it, and now we're in a safe mode. This is our control of the bees, so you use their natural instinct. So with a forest fire, they will react to the smoke in such a way that they'll go and take some honey into their stomachs. it just makes it more difficult for them to sting, so they're not as agile. The smoke also moves them gently away from any parts of the hive or the frames that you want to get to. Some people do use bee brushes, but the bees tend to get caught in that and they can get agitated. So a cool smoke with natural ingredients I've found is the best, and from my point of view it's the cheapest as well, so it's very important. Hey, Maureen,
so the weight you just have stopping it blowing away if there's a bit of a storm.
Yes, it does stop.
And then you've put chicken wire around it.
I've put chicken wire around, and that is just a deterrent to woodpeckers in the area, because there's the woodland area. You can see all the catkins here on the top, so this is what the bees will be foraging for pollen for. And now we're going to just get organised and go into the hive quickly. We don't want to lose too much heat, so I'm going to take the roof off. And as we can see in there,
some earwigs here.
Yeah, you do get a few visitors in here. We get quite a lot of earwigs, or we'll get ladybirds overwintering.
So this is the sugar
Yes, this is the ambrosia fondant.
So we're just looking at, it's a bag which has a special mix, I guess.
Yes, it has. It's got it's 2.5 kilos of bee fondant. So it's partly inverted sugar.
Yes.
So it has in there, it has a sucrose, it has a glucose syrup, inverted sugar syrup, and it's more designed for the bees. It looks like icing sugar, but this is better for the bees. They've eaten, well, basically 2 kilos. I should imagine a little bit more than that. We're only just seeing the outer edge of the 2.5 kilo bag still to be finished.
So for some people now, they like to have their bees in, you know, in what they regard as a natural way, not feeding in the winter. Have you tried that? You know, just
No. I work with my bees. If it's a natural way, you would have to be prepared for the bees to die. A lot of bee deaths would come through starvation, and I'm not prepared to do that. I am a hobby beekeeper, but I'm quite passionate and I want to keep the girls alive. So
right.
I want to have them with a little bit of extra help to bring them through the winter, because mankind has done enough to get rid of a lot of the wildflowers, and the natural environment has changed. So the bees do need our help. It's not the case where we can just leave the bees alone and they'll survive as they used to, because they've got all sorts of extra stresses, pollution.
Right.
There's a lot of magnetism in the environment now that affects their communication. So radio waves, television, and on top of that, you've got a lot of pesticides, herbicides. You've changed their environment with the natural forage. So we've got a lot of grass areas, which to a bee is sort of a desert. There isn't a lot of forage there for them. And we've also, on top of all that, we've loaded them up with some pests like varroa that's come in from Indonesia. The Asian hornet is on its way. It's come up through France pretty quickly, and last year there was a few sightings of Asian hornet in the UK that had been dealt with. So, yep, I am very passionate. The bees do need our help.
Okay.
And we need to look after them. It's quite
good.
Important.
So these are well-fed bees.
These are well-fed, little girls.
Yeah.
And
because I guess the other alternative is that you would take a lot less honey, if any at all. And leave
I haven't taken a lot of honey from these girls.
Okay.
A lot of these girls here I use as breeding colonies, so that is my prime sort of motivation for them. And I probably wouldn't have got a lot of honey from these girls last year. Maybe something like about 8 or 10 pounds. So they are left with a lot of honey. But the fondant is just that extra boost that makes it easy for them to get and gets the queen, or it gets the colony asking the queen to come back into lay as well. So it's just a bit extra help.
Okay, so now we're at the bigger Langstroth.
Yes, we're on the Langstroth hive now.
And
and as we can see, these girls,
they haven't eaten as much of their...
No, they haven't. But the difference is they have come up through and they've already got another super, which will have honey on it in the frame. So we're seeing pollen coming in at the entrance. We're seeing the bees active on the fondant. They've still got a little bit of fondant left, so I don't need to give them any extra. I'll just come round and look at the entrance, make sure the entrance is clear.
So you're just sticking a little twig in?
Just putting a twig in and making sure there's nothing in the way that's preventing the bees coming out. Just checking the ventilation on the top. The ventilation holes are open.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm very happy with that.
Right, and you check all around because I see you've got ventilation holes all around here.
So. The ventilation's on all four corners and just making sure that the hive is all square and, you know, if there's any rain coming onto the sides, it's just going to come straight down and back onto the floor, not going to get into the hive. And
did you make these hives?
I've made bits to them, but a lot of my equipment I've repaired. It's sort of a lot of it secondhand, so I've had to sterilise it.
Yes. How do you sterilise it?
Well, there's two methods. You can flame them, and that's with a blowtorch, and just scorch all of the wood. The other operation is you can put them into washing soda, into a big barrel of washing soda.
This is a liquid solution?
This is a liquid solution of washing soda.
Yeah.
Allow them to sit into that, and then bring them out, scrub them off, and then put them into another container with rainwater in. Let them stay in there for 2 or 3 days, and that will dilute any of the residue of the washing soda, and then hang it out to dry.
Right. So that takes maybe like a week or something?
Yes, yes, it does, yes. Yeah. So now what I'm going to do is just put these girls back together and put everything back in place.
So, Peter, now you've just put a jar with a little bit of honey in it and some bags with bits of honey. This is just some little bits of extra that you had left over?
Yes, this is bits that I've processed from this hive earlier.
Right.
And all I'm wanting to do is give the girls back every little precious drop that they've foraged for. So I'm going to put them in a bit of extra honey and they're going to clean it all up. That's good for both of us, good for them and good for me. So they'll work their way through it. And now I'm just going to open up the bag area, and then they'll be able to come round that and get to all of the different parts, and basically feed it and recycle it, which will be good.
What type of hive is this?
This is a British Standard.
Oh, yes. And this is a bit neater than the other one. It looks nice.
Yep.
And you've got a glass frame
on top. Just an observation crown board so that you can look through with the glass panels in place. But what you do notice, can you see the condensation?
Yes.
That's the downside of a glass panel.
It doesn't absorb the moisture like wood.
It doesn't breathe the same as wood, and then you do get this condensation. So that is a downside, but we will just give these girls a little extra boost as well.
So they're getting a wee bit of extra honey, but you don't know if it necessarily came from this particular hive.
Yes, I do, because you want to keep, it's good practice, you want to keep the bees having the honey from their particular colony, and at the very least you want it from the same apiary. But good practice is only to feed back the bees their own honey.
Right.
Otherwise, you can get pathogens and other sort of viruses into a very clean colony from one that's been affected. So it's important at all times to keep bee health paramount.
Yes. So it's a good idea then to have maybe 4 or 5 hives in a little cluster and then have a distance and have another few hives and do it that way. How many hives do you have in total?
I've got 12.
Many clusters? Or?
In 4 clusters.
4 clusters, and that's called an apiary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or an out apiary, because none of my bees are kept at home. You know, my house is in a residential area, and my personal opinion is it's better to keep the bees away from the public, because bees are still wild insects. So once you've worked with them, they can be upset for an hour and a half afterwards, maybe 2 hours. and I just don't want to cause my neighbours any problems. So all of my bees are out in areas of either conservation, near to the forest, or near to sort of water meadows. Yeah. So I'm very lucky with that.
It is good. And I think, you know, housing in Britain, it's a bit denser than
it's
it
a
is
lot,
in
yes, it, it is. It, so, it is a lot more dense than New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So, as you can see, the bees are starting to pick it up already.
Yes, and, I guess, well, I like it better than the sugar stuff, don't
yes,
you?
Yes,
yes. Yeah. I guess you're quite relieved to be seeing that all of the hives here are looking well?
Yes, I am. It's a critical time because you have the queen coming back into lay, but you have her attendants, her daughters, will be all of the old bees. So they were born last autumn. So they could have been born in the October. We're now March. So with being 5 months old, they're really an equivalent of grandmas, and they're going to have to bring up the granddaughters. So it's quite stressful. You have to have enough forage and pollen in the area, and then you're asking the old bees to look after the new offspring to start everything going again in the year. So,
and they die later than the old bees.
Yes, the old bees will be starting to die off, right. And you're wanting just to be ensuring that before they die, you've got the new brood and new young coming on to start their lives.
Is this the last hive we're looking at?
These are a couple of queen excluders.
Right.
All that does is allow the worker bees, all the daughters, to come up through into different parts of the hive. So I would have them like this between the brood chamber, where all the young are raised. So the eggs are laid in the brood. The young hatch into larvae and then go on to pupate. They are all kept in the bigger chamber below, and the queen is free roaming in there, so she can lay wherever she likes. Then there's a queen excluder put in the way,
which is just this mesh grid.
It is a mesh grid, but it's rounded mesh so that it doesn't hurt the bodies of the bees moving through.
Yes,
and it allows all the workers to come through, but the queen is too physically large to get through. And then I'll put the super on top of that, and that's where all the honey would be stored for the bees to overwinter, and if you're lucky, for the beekeeper to take a little bit of rent, because we're basically landlords. We're we're giving them a clean, tidy house, keeping it dry, stopping predators getting to them, and for that service, we'd like a little bit of honey. Please.
We're just checking the last hive, and Peter, you pointed out that these bees in this hive, they've got a different temperament, a little bit more aggressive.
Not aggressive, more defensive.
Right.
Bees don't come for you. They're not aggressive as such, but as we're going to go into their home, we're just about to take the top of their house off, let all the warmth out, so they will get defensive.
Right.
But this particular queen I'm going to re-queen this colony.
Oh, wow, this
later.
Is lovely.
So
you've got
new wax here that they produce.
So you start with a frame, don't you, and then they add to it.
Yes. So what I would do here is put in the new frames with foundation, which is the blank sheet embossed with the cell shape, and then let the bees draw it out. So they make and elongate every cell. Whilst they're doing that, I do give them a little boost feed just to help them on, and that is normally sugar syrup, because you're asking them to do an awful lot. You're asking them to build all the store cupboards that they're going to use for pollen, for the nectar, for later for the honey. So you just give them a little bit of extra help during that time, and they will reward you with all the healthy new comb. That's very good. So you can take the old comb out and get rid of that, because that might have little build-ups of pesticides or herbicides and any other sort of viruses or pathogens. And I like to keep my bees on new frames each year.
Okay. Well, I wish you a good harvest this summer.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I'll let you know, and we can taste some at a later date.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and on today's show I spoke to Peter Grimes about beekeeping and what we can expect to find when we go out in early spring to check the hives. If you'd like to find out more about what Peter does, you can go to his website at www.aabees.co.uk. If you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City. Well, that's it for this week, and I'll hope to catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.
And pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the milby boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. When the weather's fine, they'll be down at the Hamlin side. When a nor'wester comes on and it's down to Flinders Bay, through grueling surf you'll see them big ships spray. Spare a thought for us chaps who work an hour. Next time you walk the streets of a London town, in the forest, in the mill, on the line and in the yard, just to keep them dime locks rolling down. Keep them locks rolling, boys, down to the milky boys. Keep grass cuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the Milky Boys. Keep them logs rolling down. Or we'll drive the cross cuts through just to show what we can do.